and welcome back to another episode of 10-4. My name is Brian Keller, and today we'll be talking about the new manual testing capabilities of Visual Studio Team System 2010. Now, manual testing may not seem like a very exciting area for us to focus on, but as it turns out, the majority of testing that happens in organizations today is all about manual testing. And so what we've done in Visual Studio Team System 2010 is we've invested in a set of tools to make it easier for testers, manual testers, to go through and author and manage their test plans and actually execute those test plans. But perhaps more importantly for you as a developer, it allows manual testers to be able to find bugs and hand those off to developers in a way that is very actionable, that has a lot of diagnostics about how this bug was found or what machine was this bug discovered on? What's all the system information? Maybe detailed steps about the test, what the tester performs. You don't have to rely on exactly what the tester says in the bug report. You can just look and see exactly what happened by looking at all the diagnostics that get collected. So today I'll be taking you through just a quick journey of the manual testing capabilities that shipped in Beta 1. If you look at your start menu, if you've installed Beta 1, and assuming you've installed Team Suite of Beta 1, then you'll see that there's a new icon here for Microsoft Test and Lab Manager. So go ahead and launch that. Microsoft Test and Lab Manager is basically a WPF-based environment for your testers or for your test leads, and it's all about working with your test plans and authoring and executing both manual test cases, and then as you build suites of automated test cases, you can associate that to your test plan as well. But it's a really nice tool. It doesn't require that your testers learn Visual Studio. They can just install this on their machine, and they've got everything that they need in order to work with tests. And so I'll just give you a quick tour of the testing environment here within the Microsoft Test and Lab Manager. To start with, it's kind of divided up into three main components. One is the testing center. This is kind of where you'll work every single day. It's kind of the main area that that your testers will live in. Then there's the Lab Center. Lab Center is used if you're using the lab management components to manage a virtual test lab environment using virtualization. I'm not going to be spending a lot of time talking about that today, but that's a brand new capability that's coming in 2010 that is really exciting. And then there's the organize area. So if we start off in the testing center, you'll notice that I have basically three different areas across the top: plan, test, and track. And so plan is where I would work with my test plans. A test plan might vary by iteration. So you might have one test plan for beta 1 of your software, another test plan for beta 2, and then a final test plan that you use to make sure that the official release is ready to go to customers. And so in beta 1, you might focus on tests that just explore basic functionality. Beta 2, you might make sure that the functionality is really solid. And then in the final test plan, you might just focus on performance and making sure that you don't have any spelling errors in the UI and just basic tests like that. And so if you look here, I've got one test plan, and this is for my software, which might be beta 1 of software, right? And within your test plan, you can add both tests, individual test cases themselves, and you can add requirements. And what I've chosen to do is add requirements straight from Team Foundation Server, and then by default, that automatically populates this list with any test cases that happen to be linked to that requirement. So, for example, I have a requirement that says that users should be able to log into my website. Pretty straightforward. It makes a lot of sense that users should be able to log in. And then I have a test that actually confirms that those users can log in. And that test in the background is actually linked to that particular requirement. I might have 10 different tests that confirm that a user could log in. Maybe one is a plain test, plain text log on, and maybe one uses something like CardSpace to log in. So you could have multiple tests here represented. And then likewise, for this particular requirement, users should be able to add items to their shopping cart. Now, let me actually show you what those test cases look like. If I open up this test case, you'll see that logging into a site, actually, this is something that I might want to reuse within multiple tests. So what I've done is I've created a shared step that basically allows me to define all the steps that are required in order to log into the website. And so this is what's called a shared test step. And this shared test step is actually details all the individual steps that you go through when logging into a website. And so what I can do is I can reference this shared step from within other tests that might require a user to log in. So as you can imagine, working with a website where we want to have users go through and add items to their shopping cart or go through the experience of checking out, logging in is going to be a step that gets repeated over and over again throughout those tests. And if I change the behavior or the mechanics of how a user actually logs into the website, I don't want to have to go back and reauthor 100 different tests. What I can do is I can just reauthor that in this one shared test step, and then that will trickle across all those other tests as well. So it's kind of this object-oriented inheritance style of authoring tests. What you can see here are all the individual tests that a tester will follow. And so this is text just telling the user what to do, or telling the tester what to do. They open up the website, they click on sign in, they enter username and password. You'll see that username and password are actually annotated with an at sign, and that's what allows me to annotate my tests, and I can annotate those and make them parameterized later on, so that maybe I want to have multiple test cases, multiple iterations of the same test case, maybe one with one user name and one with another username, and you'll see how that works later on. And then ultimately click the submit button. And then over here on the right hand side, this is telling me what I should expect after I go through each one of these steps. So this is a validation step saying after you click on submit, you should see, hey, Brian, welcome to the website, or something along those lines. So that's a shared test step. And then this is basically a test case which references that. And for this particular test case, since all I'm doing is logging onto the site and confirming that works, all I needed to do is reference that shared test step. But if I take a look at another test step, or rather another test case, and I open that up, then you'll see that the very first thing is, again, log on to the site, and then I do some other things along the way as well. And so you can just imagine a variety of different ways to structure lots of different tests using those shared test steps. Another thing that I've got in this particular test case is I have an attachment, and that's an attachment for a particular test step to give the tester some more information about what they should be looking at. So this is just easily added by right-clicking, and you can say Manage Test Step Attachments, and you can attach like a screenshot that says, hey, you should click on this button. So rather than having to describe the button, you can say this is the picture of the button that you want to click on. What else can I show you? These are work items in Team Foundation Server, so you can see that there's a number of links. So for example, this particular test case is linked to this particular requirement, and then we've got it's linked to the requirement here, and then there's other links to additional work items here because I happen to reference the shared steps. And so because we support a hierarchical of work items now within Team Foundation Server, there's a lot of interesting things that you can do. And then finally, we've got this associated automation tab. So if you watch my earlier video on creating coded UI tests, functional tests for your applications, as your manual tests become more and more mature, there might be a certain manual tests that you want to automate. And you might automate those by writing unit tests, or you might write coded UI tests, anything you can do to actually confirm that the test behavior works, you might want to invest in automating. And so this is something that I'll cover in a later video. But basically, you can create those coded UI tests and then attach them here. And then rather than having a tester run them manually every time, they can just automatically invoke the test plan, and it will run all of the test cases which are automated. So let me show you a little bit more of the Microsoft Test and Lab Manager UI. The test tab is where you would come in the morning if you're a tester and looking to see which tests do I actually need to run. And so here's a list of tests that I just showed you, and this basically shows all the individual tests that are tests that are ready to run. You can see the blue status indicates they're ready. As I go through and test some of these, then it will say whether or not they've passed or failed and so on. Track basically allows me to track all the different tests that are across my entire plan, see where those are at. I also have some other options here, such as the ability to assign a build. So maybe I'm the person who's responsible for telling the rest of the team which builds to actually test. I can go through here and I can assign a build, and I'll show this also in a later episode, but basically what it allows me to do is compare two builds. So maybe we did a lot of testing on last Friday's build, and today we want to actually see if Tuesday's build makes the cut for us to actually switch our test efforts over. From here, I can see which requirements have changed within that particular build, and I can also see which impacted tests have actually changed based on some new technology we have called test impact analysis, which allows you to see exactly which pieces of your code were executed the last time you ran a test. And so then you can know that if you change a particular line of code and then you rerun, look at a new build, then that's going to impact any particular test which the last time you ran touched those pieces of code. So it's really super cool technology. Again, allows you as a tester to focus your efforts on the tests that matter, as opposed to rerunning the same tests over and over again that may not be impacted by any code changes. So that's pretty cool. If I come into the Lab Center, you'll see that I've just got different abilities for configuring my environments. Again, I'll cover these in a future video, so don't get too hung up on these right now. Test settings are something that do apply universally within Microsoft Test Lab Manager. One of the areas that you can come in here and modify is to determine how much data should be collected while the tests are actually executing. And so if I take a look here at the local test run, for example, I can see that while the tests are running, I want to capture an action recording, an action log. I want to capture diagnostic trace collector, system information, test impact collector. So the test impact analysis is the one I was describing that basically allows you to see which lines of code are impacted when you run particular tests. But then system information is a very simple one that says, hey, show me exactly what version of operating system and service packs and browsers were on a particular machine. And so that's really nice to be able to attach to a bug after you've completed your test run, so that the developer doesn't have to guess, were you running Service Pack 1 or Service Pack 2, and what browser were you using, anything like that. You can also capture a video recording, so as the tester is going through and running particular tests, you can capture their screen and then file that to a bug as well, so that a developer can open that up and see exactly where the bug was uncovered. So I won't get into all these different diagnostics data collectors, but this is a powerful new model that we have in 2010 that allows testers to relay lots of rich information back to the developer. So let me just close out of there for now. And Organize is the final tab within here that's worth talking about. Organize basically allows you to take a step back and say, take me out of the context of an individual plan, but allow me to look at all my different plans across my Team Foundation server. So I might have one plan for beta 1, one plan for beta 2 that I'm writing tests for, one plan for a completely different project or a different application that I'm working on. Allows me to make changes to my individual test cases. Here's all my shared steps. We also have something called test configurations. So a configuration basically says that, hey, I don't want to just test all of my test cases on Windows Server 2008 running IE7. I need to see what happens if I run particular test cases on Windows 7 running IE8, or maybe on Windows XP with Firefox. And so this gives you the opportunity to define different configurations, which you can then assign to your test plan, so that I'm not just testing on the same configuration all the time, but I'm actually having my tests run through and confirm that they work on a variety of different configurations. And so this is where you would come to actually manage those configurations. So enough about the Microsoft Test and Lab Manager. There's a lot of stuff that you can go through here and play with. But now I want to show you actually the experience of running a test. And so to start with, I'm going to start with that basic first step, which is, hey, the user should be able to log on to a website. And so if I open up this particular test, and actually I need to go to the Test tab, and here I've got a test that's ready to run, so I'll highlight it, and I'll click on Run. Then this is going to launch a new tool called the Microsoft Test Runner. And the Microsoft Test Runner is basically the script that a manual tester will go through as they run their tests. And so to start with, I get two options. One is just to start the test, and I'm off and running. But the other is to start the test and record my actions along the way. And so by recording my actions, it's going to give me the ability to then take those actions and replay them later on. And so this is really powerful, because there might be certain steps in your application which are just very monotonous, and you don't want to have your testers wasting all their time having to click through 10 different pages to sign into your application and maybe register for a new account. Wouldn't it be nice to be able to automate some of those steps, so the tester can say, hey, just have Microsoft Test Runner click through my application automatically, take me up into the point that I care about, and then you can start running your tests from there and involving the parts of the test that actually need a human being to interact with the application. And so let's go ahead and record this test as I'm running through it. And so this will basically start recording all of my actions with the application. So I'll test and record this particular shared step. And as you can see, it's just telling me exactly what I need to do as a tester. And so it's saying open up the DinnerNow website. Well, I've got an application here on the desktop, so I'll open that up. You can see up here that it's currently recording my actions. So my application is just being jitted here. Next time it won't go so slowly. So now my application's open, so I'm going to say that particular test step passed. Now it's telling me I need to click on sign in. So I'll click on sign in, and that step passed. And now if you remember this particular step where I'm actually logging in, what we've done is we've parameterized this and we've given it a data source. So down here at the bottom, what I can do is I can click on this particular value, and then I can click in the username field and just paste that in there. Likewise, I can come down to the second value, and I'll click and I'll paste. And once I'm done there, then I can say that particular step passed. And now it's telling me to click on submit. So I click on submit. And then down here in the expected results, it says that the username should be displayed in the upper right after logon. So sure enough, my username's displayed. So that test passed. And then I can end the shared steps, and we'll actually in that iteration. And so now it's telling me that I've created an action recording for this particular test, and what I can do is I can actually save that as part of the test case. And so yes, I want to save that as part of the test case. And now what I can do is I can see if that worked by looking at my second iteration. So I have a second data row in here that's going to use a different username and password to actually go through and log into the site. And so what I'll do is I'll highlight that iteration. Let me first close my web browser so that it can relaunch it from scratch. And what I'll do is I'll start the test, and I can actually play it back at the same time. So we'll go ahead and start the test and play. And by default, I can see a list of all the different actions that it's going to take as part of this particular recording. And so we'll say play selected steps. So here, automatically, my hands are off mouse and keyboards. It's opening up the website. It's going to click on sign on for me. It's going to type in the username and password. And actually, just go ahead and disable that. Actually, it's a good best practice, which I forgot to do, to go ahead and disable all the additional UI dialogues that you'll get out of Internet Explorer or whatever browser you're using there. But here, it looks like this particular test worked. It gave me the username, Jonathan, signed in. And so what I can do is I can say that particular step passed, and I'm done with that test. So you can see that that was a really basic example, but if you had a much longer running set of steps, then it would be really nice to be able to automate that so that you didn't have to do that every single time you went to test a particular step. And so now you can see that this particular step or this particular test case has passed for this particular run. And what I can do is I can start with a little bit more complicated run now. What I'm going to do now, though, is I'm going to run this test with options, and I'm going to say that that instead of using my plan settings, I want to use my local test run settings. And these are the test settings that tell the Microsoft Test Runner which particular diagnostics I want to capture. So this is nice because if I find a bug, I might have some more diagnostics that I want to hand over to the developer so that they get more information about being able to verify what this bug was and be able to troubleshoot it. So we'll say run, and again it's going to launch the Microsoft Test Runner. And so I get the same options. Do I want to just start the test, or do I want to start the test and record as I go? Now this is a little bit more complex test. It's something I haven't run before. And so I'll just start the test because I generally don't want to go through the effort of recording something until I know that I've at least done a basic sanity check and I've confirmed that the test will work as expected. So we'll go ahead and start this test. It's telling me that some parameters in this test haven't been bound to the controls that they go into. So that's fine. That's to be expected. But what I can do is I can go ahead and play that first step, which is logging into the website. And because in the last step I was able to record all those actions, and that's a shared test case or a shared step, all those recordings are available to me. So it's going to open up the website again. and click on sign in. And submit. And so at this point, now that particular part of the test passed. And so what I can do is I can say that that passed. And now I'm on to the next part of the test, which is I have to enter these parameters into the search. So we'll go ahead and paste those in. So I'm looking for American food type. I'm looking for lunch. And I'm expecting this within 1 hour. We'll click on find. And so that particular test step passed, which is great. Now what you can see here is it's asking me to click on Northwind. And earlier I mentioned that I had added a file attachment to that. So if I double click on this file attachment, I can see that this is the particular logo that I want to click on. So that's nice to have. So we'll close that out and we'll click on Northwind. And that step passed. Now I don't have to pass fail for every single step, but it is nice to be able to give the developer that information to say, hey, everything passed in here, and then that way if something fails later on, the developer implicitly knows or explicitly knows exactly which parts of the test failed and which ones passed. So here it's asking me to add 2 menu items. It's not telling me which one, so I'll just add the 2 that look good. Chocolate cake and apple pie, seems like a delicious lunch. It's telling me that menu items should show up in the cart with proper totals, and so $5 and $14 for the pie, that's $19. That looks right, and so everything looks right there. And then it says click on checkout, so we'll click on checkout, and it says that I should see a list of items in my cart and ask to confirm that the order is correct. So we'll see if that happens. And actually, I don't see that. Here I'm actually being prompted for my delivery address. So it seems like as this test is written, this might be a bug. And so I'm going to go ahead and indicate that that's a bug. And so we'll fail that. And I get the opportunity to add some comments. And so we'll say that instead of being prompted with shopping cart, I was asked for my address. Okay. Another thing that I can do is I can actually capture what this screen looks like and hand that over to the developer as part of the bug. So we'll just do a full screen capture, and that's going to attach that as a screenshot. So again, we just want to be able to help the developer get all the information that they can. So let's file a new bug, and this is going to end this particular test run and open up a bug form for me. So did not get checkout list confirmation. And what's really cool is that down here, because I had the particular data collectors turned on that I did, the diagnostic data adapters, I got a bunch of information that the tester or the developer will see about the test run that I just completed. And so here you can see that these are the recorders that I had turned on. I can see which parameters were being used as part of the particular iteration for this test run. I can see exactly if I open up these blocks, I can see exactly what was being clicked on. Now, this won't work for every application type, but it works really well for web applications, WinForm applications, WPF applications, and we'll continue to support more and more application types moving on. And then I can see down here that that right before the test failed, I can see that the tester clicked on checkout. So at least as a developer, I know that they did click on checkout. I don't have to go back to the tester and say, are you sure you clicked on checkout? Because I can see that they did that. Another thing that as a developer might be useful is to know system information. So here I can see that I'm running on Windows Server 2008. I've got Service Pack 1 installed. So that should be a supported scenario. So that's really nice. If I wanted to, I can put in the build information. I can see which test cases this is linked to. Any other links, so I've got that screenshot in here, and if I open that up, you can see that's the screenshot that it took, and now I'm good to go, so I can go ahead and save and close. What I've done is I've saved that bug, now that's available for the developer, and they've got all the information that they need, hopefully, to go back and open this up. So as you can see, that's kind of a quick tour through our manual testing story. In future episodes, I'll take you through in more depth to show you some of the other areas that we kind of glossed over, such as lab management. But I'm really excited about what we're doing here. It's a huge area of investment for us, and I encourage you to download Beta 1 from episode 20 of 10.4. I'll actually take you through how to install Team Foundation Server and install install Team Suite, and you'll have everything you need to actually run through the demo that I just did. And we're pretty excited to get your feedback on that. So thanks for watching, and we'll see you next week on 10.4.